It's May 1907, and Ronald's fifth birthday. He wakes before dawn. He looks out his window and sees a lantern bobbing toward the barn. His father is going down to milk Daisy and Bess and the 8 new Guernsey cows that were shipped in from Fort Atkinson only last week. Ronald pulls on his clothes and follows. It's just starting to get light. It's fresh and clear outside. The air is balmy. A light breeze makes the windmill's wooden vanes whir and rattle. In the barn, the cows are licking up their grain and munching hay. Grandpa is sudsing Daisy's udder with a sponge. He sees Ronald enter the lantern light. "Happy birthday, cubby," he calls cheerfully. Ronald watches while his father rinses the udder. He runs the sponge gently all over the four quarters, and in the little upside-down pocket cup, the four tits around. And then between and down the tits. Daisy's udder, Ronald has noticed before, is peppered with freckles. Bess's is creamy and unmarked. The udders on the new cows vary. All the time his father washes the cows, he talks to them. "Goo, boss. Goo, goo," he says soothingly. "Good, bossy. Good cow. Let down your milk. Goo." And then Grandpa takes the milking pail. He lays a circle of gauze over its rim and fits a domed lid over the gauze. The lid has an opening in it, about a third of the surface. He puts the pail under Bess's udder and sets the little three-legged stool beside her. He sits on the stool, presses his head against the cow's side. Grasping the two tits farthest from him, one in each hand, he pulls down first one and then the other in rhythm. The milk spurts into the opening of the sanitary bucket lid. Even through the gauze, Grandpa makes the milk spurt with such force that it smacks into the pail and the metal sings. In a moment, as the bottom is covered, the song changes to a quieter one, milk splashing into milk. A little foam forms on the gauze around where the milk goes through. Grandpa milks so well that the flow never pauses. While one tit is filling up, the other is shooting milk through the gauze. Ronald squats on his haunches and waits. In just a moment now, his father will say, "Open your mouth." "Open your mouth," says his father. And Ronald opens his mouth as wide as he can, shuts his eyes just in case. But Grandpa doesn't miss. The stream of warm milk hits the back of his throat. Ronald chokes and swallows and opens his eyes laughing. Grandpa laughs too. Blackie the cat appears out of nowhere and opens her mouth. Grandpa aims a tit at her, and even though her mouth is much smaller than Ronald's, he hits the center of the pink gap. She sits down suddenly, licking her chops. When the bucket is full, Grandpa empties it into a milk can. He finishes with Bess, then moves over to Daisy. Daisy keeps looking over her shoulder at Ronald. "Come along," says his father. "She knows it's your birthday, and says you're big enough to milk her now. Wash your hands." Ronald washes first in the soapy bucket, then the rinse bucket. He dries with the clean towel on the hook of the wall. He sits down carefully on the milking stool. Daisy looms above. When he leans his head against her side, his hair butts against the lower curve of her firm belly. He can see every freckle on her udder. "Some farmers milk wet and some milk dry," his father says. "That means some think a wet tit helps their grip. Some grip better with dry hands. In other barns you'll see farmers spit on their hands in order to milk wet. But never, never will you see that happen here." Grandpa shakes his head, and Ronald, pressed against Daisy, shakes his head too, but carefully. A cow's side is a strange, springy place to lean. "Now hold the tits," Grandpa instructs. Ronald takes the two back ones. They feel firm and a little spongy, like a warm carrot with give. He squeezes. Nothing happens. "You're squeezing the end," So the milk can't get out, his father says. He holds a hand close to demonstrate. Squeeze your fingers in order, starting with the top one. And at the same time, you pull down. That moves the milk down and out the end. Then you let up, relax your grip, and the tit fills with milk for the next squeeze. And while you've eased up on that tit, you're pulling down the other. No, it isn't easy till you get onto it. Ronald tries and tries. It's hard to squeeze his fingers in order. He feels very awkward. His father shows him again. At last, Ronald produces a spurt from each tit, and then again. They miss the open part of the bucket lid, but Ronald feels victorious. So does Grandpa. You'll make a milker in no time, laddie, he says. And he sits down, finishes milking Daisy, then moves on to the new cows. It's full daylight when they finish. Grandpa looses the cows from their stanchions and turns them into the barnyard. They amble toward the pasture. Ronald carries the empty wash buckets and the empty milk pail up to the house. His father carries the heavy milk can. In the back room, the milk room, there's new equipment. The milk cooler is a shiny metal grill that looks rather like a large scrub board, but with the tub balanced on top. The coils of the grill are hollow and open above a tank at the bottom. His father starts cold well water running through the coils. When the water starts to spill out into the tank, he climbs a broad step stool and pours the milk into the reservoir on top. The reservoir has holes all along its bottom length. The milk drains out in a row of small streams above the top coil and ripples down the cold grill. Ronald watches till the first of the milk reaches the tray at the bottom and is funneled off into a can. And then he goes to the kitchen. A kettle of hot water is steaming on the stove. A frying pan of bacon is sizzling. Happy birthday, Ronald, says his mother. You're up early. Trevor's still abed. Grandpa comes in. Together, he and Ronald eat eggs and bacon and flapjacks. His father tells how Ronald has marked this day by milking his first cow. And Grandma chucks with praise. After breakfast, Ronald follows his father back to the milk room. Now Grandpa washes up the pails and milk cans and scalds everything. He turns the pails and cans upside down on the rack. He takes 6 of the new glass bottles and sets them on the enamel top table. He takes the can of cold milk and pours some into a pitcher. He then carefully fills each bottle. Now comes what Ronald has been waiting for. Since the bottles arrived, his father has filled a few of them daily, pressing on the caps with his thumb. For practice, he says, twinkling about the whole unnecessary process. For after the family has admired the new gleaming capped bottles, they uncap them and drink the milk. But now Grandpa takes another piece of equipment. Delivered just yesterday, it's a heavy metal hand capper. It's already filled with cardboard discs from a long cardboard tube off the shelf. He positions the base of the capper over the rim of a bottle and presses down with the handle grip. With a ka-chunk, the bottle is capped. Ronald knows what the cap says. In deep golden yellow on white, W.J. Dogan, the baby's milkman. There, says Grandpa. One day soon we'll have a bottler, too. He sets the bottles into a shallow tub of cold water. Ronald trots behind his father out to the horse barn. Grandpa harnesses Molly to the buggy. He leads her to the hitching post by the back door of the house. He goes inside, and when he returns, he's taken off his overalls and is wearing town clothes. His ear trumpet hangs around his neck. He's carrying the milk bottles in a wooden case covered with a wet flour sack. That'll keep them cool, he explains to Ronald as he sets the case on the buggy floor. You want to come? Hop up, then. Ronald hops up and sits with his feet resting on the edge of the case. Grandpa hops up, too, says, Yep, Molly. And the horse starts out the drive. Looking back, Ronald glimpses his little brother's face in the window. Grandpa turns west on Collie Road. Molly is full of energy. She trots briskly. Ronald looks at the plowed fields. He looks up and down the railroad tracks where they cross the road. He listens to his father sing at the top of his voice, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee." Ronald can't see how you can hide yourself in a rock. They cross the tall red iron bridge over Spring Brook, and Ronald looks at the little stream. They cross the low black bridge over Turtle Creek, and Ronald looks at the larger stream. A hill marks the end of the Turtle Creek Valley. They go up it and are in town. Grandpa drives to a house on the west side. He takes 2 quarts of milk, goes to the door and knocks. Ronald stays close beside him. "This is Dr. Thayer's. Look there in the shed. Do you see that round platform? He drives his new automobile onto that platform, and then he turns it so that the automobile is facing out again, ready to go when a patient calls." The dais is empty. Ronald wishes that Dr. Thayer would drive up, both so that he could see an automobile and witness the magical performance. Mrs. Thayer answers the door. "This is a red letter day," she explains. Smiles at Ronald. Ronald agrees. His father gives the milk to Mrs. Thayer. She gives him 2 nickels. Grandpa writes something in a book. He and Mrs. Thayer chat. Grandpa holding his ear trumpet while she shouts into it. And then she gives Ronald a cookie. Grandpa drives Molly back to the east side and stops before another house. "This is where Henry Adams lives," he tells his son. Ronald looks at the shed to see if it too has a rotating platform, but it doesn't. Mrs. Adams comes to the door. "Here's a day to celebrate," she shouts into Grandpa's ear trumpet, and again Ronald agrees. Grandpa gives 2 quarts to Mrs. Adams, and she gives Grandpa a dime, he writes in his book. Mrs. Adams gives Ronald a cookie, too. They drive a few more blocks, and Ronald doesn't need to be told whose house this is. It's Aunt Ida Croft's, across from Strong School. They've brought Aunt Ida milk before, when they've come for Sunday dinner, carrying it in a covered pitcher or 2 mason jars, but never in a milk bottle with a W.J. Dogan, the baby's milk cap. He jumps from the buggy and carefully carries 1 of the 2 remaining bottles to the door. His father carries the other. "Happy birthday, Ronald," says Aunt Ida. She takes the bottles and puts them in the icebox. She and Grandpa talk a bit. Ronald stands on a chair and looks into the beady black eye of the yellow canary. The canary teeters on a little perch in its cage and looks right back at Ronald. "Here's a present for a big boy," says Aunt Ida. She's holding 2 packages, one large and flat, one small and square. To Ronald, it looks like 2 presents. He climbs off the chair and undoes the tissue paper. The large package is a checkerboard. The smaller one, the box of checkers to go with it. Also gives Ronald a cookie. And then Ronald and Grandpa climb in the buggy and drive back through the streets to Collie Road. When they get to the edge of town, Ronald sits between his father's knees and holds the reins. He feels important. He's old enough to milk Daisy. He's old enough to take milk to town. He's old enough to drive Molly. "Ronald," says his father as they're crossing the creek, "do you know that this is a very special day?" Ronald nods vigorously. "It certainly is. And Mrs. Thayer and Mrs. Adams and Aunt Ida have all known it, too." He indicates his box of checkers on the buggy seat. "Yes," says Grandpa. "It's your birthday. And you're growing sturdy in body and spirit. That's quite enough to make this a special day. But we've also just gone on our first milk route and delivered our own product to our first 3 customers. From this day on, we're not only farmers, we're businessmen. You are riding with W.J. Dolgan, the baby's milkman. Grandpa laughs till his eyes disappear. Ronald laughs and laughs, too.